Day two of the legislative sessions in Washington State for 2022. They gaveled to order yesterday afternoon, and we've got our first go-around with 12th District State Senator Brad Hawkins, who, of course, is a part of those in the State Senate once again this year. It's a 60-day session, and Brad's going to talk to us a little bit more about the opening of the sessions, COVID, of course, how it's impacting things once again as far as conducting business is concerned, and also about what kind of business we're expecting to see, both from a state level and also those that might have more of a local impact on us here during the sessions. And Brad, I appreciate the time very much. Thanks.
Good morning, Chris. Happy New Year to you.
Yeah, same to you. So are you home then to begin the sessions?
Yes. Our plan was to be in Olympia because the Senate had planned on virtual meetings for constituent meetings and committees, but in-person floor debates and votes. Although we just had to change things up just recently with the rise in the COVID variants. And it appears as if at least the first half of the legislative session will be almost entirely remote for the first month of the two-month session. And as it turns out, with all the snow and the terrible mountain passes, it was kind of a blessing. But yes, yesterday I participated remotely. I kind of joke around that with all my multiple laptops and all the tablets and phones I have, I look like I'm operating the Rivercom 911 dispatch center. But it all worked out. You know, we did that. We took the votes. We established the rules and all the timelines and everything. We did that yesterday. So we did have Senate floor action, and it worked out well. And then, you know, we have committees and all these things starting up this week. So it's going to be busy with, as you mentioned, it's only a 60-day session. The state of Washington alternates between 105-day sessions when we're first developing the state's two-year budgets, and then 60-day sessions when we're making what are supposed to be minor modifications to the existing already approved budgets. And that's one of the, you know, one of the session this year is kind of that in-between session. So it's going to be short. It's going to be fast. And it might be over before we know it. We'll see.
Yeah, you know, everything seems to be over before we know it, except the pandemic. That's the one
that's
thing
right.
That doesn't seem to be over before
that's
we
true.
Know it in our lives, it seems like. Brad, I don't want to get too far off into the weeds on this, but I know some of the rules that were drafted for the number of folks that could be, you know, on the Senate floor, in the House, on the House floor, you know, those sorts of things, were a little contentious. Is that weighing on people at all? Do you feel like to start the sessions, was that a really big deal, or are we just kind of hearing more about it maybe being blown up in the media?
I think it was a bigger deal last year. The House of Representatives has a different process than the Senate, so they had planned to be entirely virtual, require proof of vaccination to get in offices. The Senate did things a little bit differently. We had planned on that true hybrid approach where we would be on the floor for every Senate vote and Senate floor debate. And I think that kind of gave people a lot of reassurance. And then there was a process for testing. Vaccinations weren't a requirement for Senate floor action, but a negative COVID test was a requirement. So that was the other thing. I was like, I'm not really looking forward to getting a nasal swab every day and everything. But you know, we want to be safe, and that's important. But as it turns out, you know, we'll be doing most everything remote. It'll probably save me a lot of trips back and forth over the dangerous mountain passes. And hopefully we can still get a lot of important work done. I think the biggest thing that Senate Republicans had issues with was any restrictions on the public's opportunity to weigh in on their state legislative process. We want to make sure people have that opportunity. Fortunately, with virtual committee meetings and Zoom, it worked out pretty well last year. We had at one meeting over 1,000 people in the virtual committee room. So it can work effectively, and hopefully the public doesn't in any way feel that their opportunity to participate in the process is diminished. For my office, we have 3 staff working in my office this year, and in addition to me, and we place a high priority on constituent customer service. And even though we are working remotely as my office, I want to make sure that the same standards of customer service are extended to the people of the 12th District. And I think for the most part, people are pleased with how we're responding, even in this remote world that we're living in.
12th District State Senator Brad Hawkins with us today here on the Coho Morning Show, talking to us about the 2022 legislative sessions. They are here. They got to order yesterday at around noon. So, Brad, I know it's a short session this year, 60 days, as we've talked about already. What are the things, I guess, that are, you know, A, expected to be produced out of the sessions, and then B, what are the hopes for the sessions, specifically, I guess, for you and then constituents in the 12th District?
Well, I think for me, for constituents in the 12th District, as well as communities all across Washington State, adjustments to the recently passed suite of police reform laws are something that I know many legislators hope can get approved this session. The same legislature is returning this year, so there's a couple new faces, but for the most part, I don't see an opportunity to make gigantic changes to some of those things as some of the constituents in the 12th District do want. But hopefully we can see some real good improvements to make those police reform laws more workable for law enforcement and help better protect our communities. Also, this long-term care act, the long-term care tax that many people have heard about, even those that were the original supporters of that bill, and I didn't vote for it, but some of the folks who were the sponsors of the bill and the governor and members on both sides of the aisle are acknowledging significant issues and flaws with that process. So I think the Long-Term Care Act is either going to be potentially completely scrapped or completely reformed during the session. I think those are the two like overarching priorities, but also we do have significantly more revenue anticipated in our state, more than what we had thought when we first developed the budget, and that came out recently in an updated revenue forecast. It's something in the neighborhood of $900 million over this current two-year budget that we're working on. We're just you know, 8 months or so into this two-year budget, so it's positive that it's up. Also, for the next two-year budget, since we budget over a four-year outlook, so for 2023 to 2025, the two-year budget that we will be developing next legislative session, the revenues are projected to be up almost $1 billion above what we had anticipated in that two-year period. And so then that has created some questions too, because normally for the three budgets, the operating, the transportation, and the capital budgets, we come back in these short sessions and make technical corrections and modest adjustments to those budgets. But with the revenues up so much, some of us are concerned that, you know, new programs will be developed and it could potentially be much more involved. And so I'm personally hoping for either some tax relief or utilizing the extra revenues that we have, setting those aside in our budget stabilization account, in our rainy day fund, to help ensure that our budget is a little more sustainable in a downed economy that could be in our future at some point. So, you know, between the police reforms and the long-term care tax, as well as what could or could not happen reopening the three state budgets, I think it could make for a lot of work this session.
And the governor was maligned a bit once again as well for going back through and striking out some particular items in the budgets last time around. Right. So we'll see if that weighs in as a factor as far as some of the things that maybe get tweaks in this cycle as well, Brad, even though, as you mentioned, it's not a full budget process for the legislature this year. So real quickly to wrap things up, anything specific that you're going to bring in as far as bills are concerned from the 12th District this year?
Yeah, basically working on four bills. One was a carryover from last year related to providing some compensation to tow truck operators whose if drivers are negligent and cars get stranded and they're called out by law enforcement to remove vehicles, and making sure that the tow truck operators can get compensated. That bill almost made it all the way through, and so it's still technically alive for the two-year period. We're going to try to get it across the finish line. I've introduced a bill related to voluntary school district consolidations, and if school districts voluntarily consolidate some of these smaller districts, maybe we can provide financial incentives to boost their facility renovations. I'm partnering with Mayor Flory in Leavenworth and others from Chelan and Chelan County on introducing a bill for lodging tax flexibility to utilize some of the portion of the lodging tax revenues for workforce housing. And that bill has a hearing tomorrow morning. And then also I have just recently introduced a Highway 2 traffic flow and safety bill, trying to identify a suite of projects along Highway 2 from essentially Wenatchee to Monroe, but in particular Leavenworth and Sultan, some of these areas where there's a lot of pedestrians and traffic really blocks up and backs up. So hopefully we can, move that bill forward and have a good discussion of that, because the state legislature is likely developing a major statewide new transportation investment package, not this session, but next session. And so it's important to identify all those potential improvements along Highway 2 now in this year, so we can be in a better position to secure funding next year. So those are kind of the suite of things that I'm working on for the 12th District. And then if COHO listeners have any questions at all, they're welcome to contact me. The best way to do that is senatorbradhawkins.org through my website. I have a contact me page. And if people have any questions at all about the legislative session or individual bills, we're happy to assist with that.
All right, very good. Brad, I'll put in for the multi-lane express tunnel from Monroe to Peshaston. How's that? We can start digging that now, right?
Done. Let's do this.
Okay.
Let's go.
Sounds good. All right. Very good. 12th District State Senator Brad Hawkins with us today here on the Coho Morning Show. Is going to join us on Tuesdays around 7:25 every week during the sessions. And we'll look forward to finding out more information firsthand, what's going on over in Olympia and also through Olympia, with, again, the sessions being done remotely this year once again because of the pandemic. Brad, good to chat. Appreciate the time as always. Look forward to next week.
Yeah, me too. Thanks so much, Chris.